Wow, isn't God good? Isn't he amazing? Some of you saw me nearly fall off the chair then and laughed. God's watching. So, if you're visiting us today, thank you so much for joining us. God's been doing some amazing things amongst us over the last few months. Seeing people saved most weeks. We were on an amazing Alpha course. Yesterday was great, wasn't it? Who was on the Alpha course yesterday? Give me a wave. Wasn't God good? Look around the room, put your hands up, everybody. We prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to come, and you know what? He came. Was that a coincidence? No, it's God. And we just love Jesus here. I love Jesus. We love Jesus. So if you're visiting us today, we pray that you will experience the wonderful presence of Jesus today. So, can anybody guess what theme I'm speaking on today? Stronger, better together. So if you're visiting us today, you can get us on our channel, on our YouTube channel, follow it through. Stronger, better together. And I want us to explore that a little bit more today and unpack a few things from the Old Testament. We can look in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5, which you can look in your Bible or you'll be able to see on the screen. But what was the purpose of the book of Judges? The purpose of the book of Judges is it's recorded by people that God has raised up for a specific purpose. The specific purpose was to release the people from captivity, from their enemies, to bring the law central back to the people because they'd walked away from God, and also to lead the military campaigns. So let's have a look now at Judges chapter 4. Now, Judges helped deliver the people of Israel because of the consequence of their sin. Because of the consequence of their sin, God had to raise up judges to deliver them, to help them. They needed help. So this is what happens. After Enid died, Ehud, we've got somebody else's glasses on. After Ehud died, thanks for giving me the big words, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So it then says, so the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Does God need money? And what it means is God handed them over to them because they said, we don't want you anymore, God says. So God says, paraphrase according to Robin Baker, well, you get on with it then without me. So he handed them over to the powers that be, that are influenced by evil pagan gods. He hands his people over to them. So if you don't want me then give them under the authority of them then. Into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of the army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Harosheth Hagoyim. Is that right, Kate? Hagoyim. Thanks, Kate. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for how many years? 20 years. And what do? They cry out to the Lord for help. 20 years of oppression because they've turned their back on God. So what has happened, and we'll see a little pattern in a minute and understand this pattern, but Harosheth Hagoyim means of the Gentiles. It was the place where the Gentiles ruled in and ruled from. It was a stronghold. Can you say the word stronghold? So Israel had alienated themselves from God. God had not alienated himself from Israel. The people of Israel had turned their back and walked away from God. They had alienated themselves from God. And they turned to worship other idols. And because of their sin, because of their unfaithfulness, now the consequence of sin, do we all know that there are consequences for sin? Yeah? Now, people say, well, we live in the day, in the millennium, and in the place of grace. Well, you know, God is good, isn't he? And he's graceful. He is. But the consequences of sin still happen. If we sin, there are consequences. And God is good, but we have to deal with the consequences of sin. And so they're dealing with the consequences of sin. 20 years they are oppressed by Jabin, who is a man, if you study him and you find some history about him, he was not a nice guy. He oppressed the people of Israel for 20 years. He probably enjoyed it, enjoying doing it. But what had happened was previously, when the people of Israel had come into the land, they'd taken the land and they destroyed this stronghold. It had already been gone. So why is it there now? How come this stronghold has come back right now when previous generations had given their life so that the people could be free from oppression? And what has happened is they've turned their backs on God and they've become complacent. They've started to think, well, it doesn't really matter if that idol worship happens again. It doesn't really matter if that stronghold starts to be rebuilt again. And in that period of time, because they're away from God, because they become complacent, a stronghold happens and is rebuilt. And it's foolishness. It's disastrous for them because they've allowed it to happen. And what I want to say at the start of this talk today is if we want to be stronger, better together, we cannot be complacent and let strongholds be built right now. Now I'm talking about spiritual strongholds here. We can't sit back and let's enjoy church on a Sunday. Isn't it lovely? Isn't the worship good? Wasn't it lovely today, the worship? And come to church just on a Sunday and think, now I can put my Christian spiritual hat on. There's legislation that is being backed up now that will come to government. And we're talking about spiritual strongholds that if those are passed, it will be disastrous for this nation. It will be disastrous for this church. It will be disastrous for every Christian church in this country. And if we are complacent and we allow these strongholds to happen, we are foolish. The very least we can do is to start praying for our nation right now. As a nation is being rebuilt, as churches are re-emerging in some ways, the time now, and we've talked about this when we started this whole series with Nehemiah, do you remember the first thing he did? He prayed for over 170 days. He prayed for his nation. And I want to say to you, this church, if you want to be part of this church, we are not going to sit back and watch legislation go by without at least praying, and we'll definitely say something. And when I go to Parliament this in a few months, I will be staying and speaking against some of this legislation. So there are strongholds being built right now in our nation that we need to deal with, and if we're going to be stronger, better together, we can't be complacent. Does that make sense? So let's start into this story. The book of Judges illustrates the disastrous consequences of breaking relationship with God and the consequences of sin. So there's four cycles that happen with the people of Israel. They never learn. They never seem to learn. The first cycle is apostasy. Basically means they turn their back on God. They come from under his covering, under his authority, under his protection. They walk away from God. And can I tell you, if you have been a Christian and you walk away from God, you walk away from his authority and his protection, and you walk under somebody else's authority. You place yourself in somebody else's authority. And that is the enemy. So people say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, it's your choice whether you believe in God or not. But I tell you, there are two powers. There's God, good, devil, bad. God, good, devil, bad. Jabin. And if we walk from his covering, away from him, we place ourselves under the enemy, and the enemy will oppress us. And it could be years that we live under that oppression. So the people of Israel turn their back on God, they live under oppression, and then they cry out to God and say, God, I'm so sorry that I've done this, and please will you help? And so God forgives them. They repent. The third process is repentance. And then, as God always does, because he's a good God, he responds to the cry of our heart. He goes, of course, child, I'll have you back. Of course, child, I love you. And he grabs them in his arms, metaphorically. And he places them back under his protection, under his covering, and he provides a judge to help them understand the law of God and to fight on their behalf. Does that make sense? So if you're listening today and you are somewhere in that cycle, the place you need to be is under the protection of Jesus Christ today. Any other place is dangerous. And please let me say this respectfully. Any other place is foolishness for you. And the consequences of it will not just affect yourself, but will affect people around you. So, in chapter 4, we have this beautiful story of this beautiful lady called Deborah. She's the fourth judge. We don't know much about her. And we have this man called Barak that she places in a position of authority. And we have the commander of the enemy army, who is called Sisera. And you can read that story. It's only two chapters. You read it this afternoon. It's quite a graphic chapter, actually, if you want to read it. And I think he made a bit of a mistake. And if you understand the story, you can get the pun on words. Sisera. Okay, so Deborah, what do we know about her? Very little, but what we do know is this. Her name. Does anybody know what Deborah means? Deborah means bee. And to be called bee. Prophetic name. When God gives people's names and he raises them up, he gives them a name for a reason. Bee. He raises her up so that she will bring a sting to her enemies. This is what she's called to do. To take on the enemy and to destroy the enemy. Now, we do not know much about her, but we know that her influence was great. She became the greatest leader in her generation. Now, I don't want to be sexist by these comments, so please don't get me wrong, ladies. But this lady was born into a culture of a male-dominated world. Women do not lead. Women are not asked to lead. Women, if a woman leads, the men will walk the opposite way. They wouldn't follow a woman. But here we have a lady that obviously God has seen something in her life and he raises her up to lead a nation. Wow. Isn't that amazing calling? And you know, she doesn't do it for 1 year or 2 years. She does it for 40 years. And she does it successfully. Study all the judges. Each one are raised up from different tribes, by the way. Gideon did 40 years. I remember Hurst did 40 years. Come back to me in a minute. Number of them only did a few years. But this lady, 40 years. That God raised up. Now, if you take Samson, does anybody remember Samson? The strong man took on their lion, killed their lion, killed all those Philistines with the ox head. Well, wasn't he great? No. He ruled for 20 years. He didn't learn from Deborah or Gideon, who followed. He didn't take example for them because, you know what, he was Mr. Big. His title, his position meant that everybody had to follow him. And if they didn't, you better watch out. Remember, he said to his mother, father, go and get me that woman. I want that woman. Go and get her for me or else. If you don't get her, there's going to be trouble. You see his arrogant spirit he has here. He has a whole opportunity to serve a nation. And what happens is the nation stays in bondage for 20 years. But even more than that, Israel go into one of the hardest times they ever have, and for 100 years they're in bondage until David comes. Because of his actions, it's another 100 years before the people are free from the oppression of the people around him. And you see how a difference can be made when we lead, that people either can be set free or put under oppression and bondage. If we want to build stronger, better together, we have to move away from three things. Position, do as I say. From title, or I'm the pastor, therefore you have to do everything I say. And if I say it from this stage, it must be right, because he's the pastor. Because he's not always right, and sometimes he makes mistakes. And away from gender. Does that make sense? We have to think literally that every person in this room, God will raise up for a purpose in their gifting so that they can bless other people and help other people. So ladies, I just want to talk to you for a minute. Men, don't turn off. Again, this is not a sexist comment. This lady demonstrates that if you allow the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to fill you and to lead you, you can be a world changer. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Ladies, I'm talking to you. Do you believe it? Talk back to me. Now, you are a world changer in your marriages. You're amazing wives. You're a world changer with your children. You're amazing mothers. But you can be a world changer in this church for other people. You can change the world of people and out there. And who knows whether God might raise some people from here that will change this nation. So I say this not because it's a sexist comment, but I believe some of you ladies are called to some great things. And do not allow the enemy to stop you doing that today. So Deborah, she is in charge of the nation. And what she does is she takes a man called Barak. She sees a gifting that this man has. He's a military leader. So she appoints him as captain over all the army. She places him in a position of authority. And Barak, in response to her doing that, he shows her respect and he honours her. He brings honour to her. He stands by her. Even so, when he has to go and fight the battle, the final battle, this big battle that's going to happen to destroy this stronghold, he gets a bit fearful. Maybe he thinks that maybe I'm not up to this. This is a big task. I've got to go to Mount Tabor. They've got a big army and they're strong and they've got all those chariots. We haven't got any chariots. They've got all those swords. We've only got a few swords. And maybe he thinks, do you know what, I don't think I can do this. But Deborah, who's placed him in that authority, she says, do you know what, Barak, I'm going to stand by you. Even though you don't have faith in yourself, do you know what, I have faith in you. Isn't that good? Having faith in other people when they don't have faith in themselves. She could have said, do you know what, Barak, if you're not up for the job, I'll do it myself. Come on, man up. And you ladies said that to your husband? Instead of standing by him and walking with him in the journey. See, the people loved her. If she had said, I'm leading the army, they'd have surrounded and gone with her. But she believed in him. She believed that actually together we're stronger and better. What's the word? Together. And so she goes with him. She travels 50 miles from where she is to Mount Tabor to take on the enemy, to stand with him to win the victory. And the result is prosperity and peace are restored for 40 years. Now, encouraging and empowering people in their gifting is so important. If you see somebody has a gift, what you want to do is get behind them and you want to encourage them. You want to stand by them. You want to stand with them and you want to help them. And so even when people show lack of faith at times, either in themselves or whether God can really use them. Because sometimes we think, can God really use me? And does God want to really use me? And the answer is yes on both of those, by the way. It's a double yes. It's a yes and yes. So you have people like Abraham. He lacked faith in God. Did God write him off? No. What did God do? He made him the father of the nations. Even though he failed, he put his trust in him. And he empowered him to do his job. What about Moses? Did Moses ever lack faith? Yeah, he did. Did Moses make some big mistakes? Yes, he did. Did Moses say to God, I can't do this, God, please help me? Yes, he did. Did God write him off? No, he didn't. What did God do? He empowered him to lead a nation. The Apostle Paul, what did he do? Did he ever lack faith, this mighty apostle? Did he ever lack faith, anybody? Yeah, he did. Did God write him off? No, he didn't. What did God do? He empowered him to change the world. Because at times we lack faith, that doesn't make us a failure. It just means that we need to come back to the Lord Jesus and allow him to empower us. And if someone makes a mistake here, then get alongside them. Don't judge them or criticise them. And empower them and stand with them and stand beside them so that they can be successful. And we need to do that if we're going to be stronger, better together. Now, this lady, they probably didn't expect her to be able to change a nation. She's only a woman. Nice lady. Honeybee. Looks after us a bit. Teaches us the word of God. But change a nation. They probably didn't think she was powerful enough to do it because she's a woman. But that's exactly what she did. She changed their world and she exceeded their expectations. Could you use that word? Exceeded their expectations. Deborah exceeded their expectations. She says in Judges 5 verse 7, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. I think that's a beautiful scripture. A mother in Israel. Do you know, in Hebrew, that is the highest compliment you can give a woman. The nation gave her the highest compliment, the mother of Israel. Wow. What a lady. They gave her ultimate respect. What are people like who exceed expectations? Anybody want to throw some suggestions? What are people like who exceed expectations? Anybody from a communications department like to tell me? Need to word the question better, thanks. Give me an example of what people are like who exceed your expectations. Anybody want to give me an example? Gracious. How? Courageous. Okay, how? Give me an example. Fighting your battle. Okay, yep.
Focus.
Give me an example.
Know what they want,
they
know what to get there,
and they do it. Okay, anybody else?
Faithful.
Who said that?
Rita.
Faith. Faithful. Did you see the video yesterday? We were doing a little YouTube video, and this lady appears behind us like an angel. She thought I was taking a photograph, she didn't know she was live. Faith, go on, give me an example.
She trusts She trusts that she can do the job.
So I'm going to make a suggestion that people who exceed expectations generally go the extra mile and they take people with them. They will go the extra mile and they take people with them. So to be stronger, better together, we need to go to an extra mile. Now, Jesus taught about going the extra mile. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, 41, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him. Two, Jesus taught us, do more than people ask. Don't just do what they ask. do more. So Christianity is about added value. When we do things as Christians, we bring added value to the equation. Does that make sense? We don't just bring a solution to the problem. We bring added value. Part of our added value is we also bring Jesus into the equation. We not only deliver what we promise, we should over-deliver on what we promise. So we shouldn't promise somebody that we'll do anything for them when we know we can't do anything, but we can do something. But when we do something, we think about what that something is and we downplay it so that when we go to deliver it, we do it. We keep our word. Yes, I will take you shopping. But the added value is, and you know what? I'd like to pay for your shopping too. So we under-promise, but we over-deliver in what we do. We have added value. So Jesus was a rabbi. What does a rabbi do in the Old Testament? He teaches. So what was the people's expectations of Jesus? To teach. They expected him to bring the word of God to teach and to get them to understand what it means to be a follower of God and how to live the law. And Jesus teaches all that. But he added some value. He adds the value, actually, you don't just have to live the law. You can actually have a relationship, a loving relationship with God. He adds value. He adds and exceeds their expectations. So they think, I've never heard anybody teach like this before. Not only does Jesus bring this extra teaching and this whole relationship with God the Father, he sees people that are poorly, and his added value is, you got something wrong with your eyes? Let me pray for you. And he prays, spits in the face. Please don't do that. Spits in the face. And the added above expectation that Jesus brings, the person sees, wow. And people come hungry. And what does he do? He feeds them. Does this make sense? He exceeds their expectations in so many ways. He looks after the physical and the spiritual. And this is a time, if we're going to be stronger, better together, not to overpromise people that we can do anything for them, because we cannot. But if we promise something, we honour that. We keep our word. But also we find and ask the Holy Spirit to show us if I can add something to it. And that will help us to become better, stronger together. Does that make sense? Is anybody still asleep? Let's go back to Deborah and look at how she added value and how she exceeded their expectations and the way she lived. Because I think there's some lovely things for us to learn from this beautiful lady. Mind you, I wouldn't want to go and battle against her. So let's have a look at what happens. She says in Judges chapter 5 verse 9, we'll bring that up. Deborah didn't try and take all the credit for Israel's victory herself. She didn't say, look at me. Look what I've done, everybody. Look how I've saved you. She talks about the people that have helped her. She gives credit to those people that have stood by her, that have followed her. And she says this in verse 9, my heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. So she brings praise. She builds them up. She acknowledges that actually we wouldn't have done this without their help. This is the whole together thing. And also in Judges 5 verse 3, she gives God the credit for what God has done. Hero kings, give hero princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. And you find that Deborah has a song. And in her song, she includes the people and God who has helped her give her victory. And if we're going to be stronger, better together, we need to give people the credit. This church isn't built because of me. This church is built because of us. Together, and people that have gone before us that have sacrificed. You know, we've cleared our mortgage now. People that have given financially and sacrificially And we need you to give financially and sacrificially again. I'm going to share with you in a few weeks the next part of what we need to do. And I will ask you again. I won't be ashamed to do that. But this is about a we. It's about an us together. You know, Samson gave no credit to other people. Do you know that? He never gave credit to other people. And do you know who else he didn't give credit to? I'll give you a guess. God. He never once said, oh, God's done this. You look about the number of times he says, I will rise up as I did before. I will do this and I will do that. The purpose of her song was to give all the glory to God. And you know, she was secure in who she is. And we've been talking about being secure in who we are, knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing that we're not a pauper, we're not a beggar. We don't come to God saying, oh God, help me please. Poor little worm that I am. We come as a child of God in the authority that he's given us. And as a child of God, we can come 24/7 into his presence. We have absolute access to him because of what Jesus has done. We've talked about that the last few weeks. And we come as a child of God. It means we're now being promoted and adopted into his family. So we need to know who we are. And we need to know what we can do for God today. And you know, we can do great things for God. I want to say there shouldn't be any jealousy in church. Oh, I wish I was like him. I wish I was like her. How come she gets all that and I don't? You know, that will not make us stronger, better together. That will bring division. And that will undo all the hard work that we spent the last 18 months trying to build to get us where we are. You don't need to be jealous of anybody else because you've got a unique gift from God that God has for you to minister to the body, and that's your gift. So fan the flame in the gift that you have. And if you're not sure, come see Emmanuel. He'll help you. He said, Pastor, give me more things to do. I'd like to do so much more. We should want the person sitting next to us, the person in the room, to excel. We should be saying, come on, we should be rooting for them. Come on, you can do this. Bailey is at the back. Sorry, Bailey, I'm keeping you awake. I know you're yawning. You probably didn't recognise him as a haircut. But when I was running for Birchfield Harriers a long time ago, these were the words of my dad, the encouraging words of my dad. So I'd gone from juniors to seniors, and I always used to run the 800 metres from the line at the front. I would go for it. And on the juniors, I did well. Went to the seniors, and they're all bigger than me. And I ran from the front. I gave my heart to run. And on the last 10 metres, two of them overtook me. I was gutted. Guess what my dad said? Son, it's not the taking part that matters, it's the winning. Got in his car and went home and had to get the bus home. That's not the kind of thing we need to do to build people up. Just a bit of a hint. Find something good about people and build them up. So I'm going to ask you to do something very practical. You know, Deborah came alongside him, Barak. She gave him the battle plan. She told him how to attack, and she told him when to attack. She said, Barak, get up now. Now's the time. Do it now. What I can encourage you is saying, now's the time. Do it now. Does that make sense? I can encourage you in that because I know if we leave things too long, a window of opportunity will be gone. It will not return. We we will not have the same opportunities as we've ever had before. Some of you are sitting back in church watching the world go by. Some of you have been hurt in church. Some of you think, I'll never put myself in that situation again. But it's time to stop thinking like that. Put a new mindset on and say, this is a new day now. I need to get in and involved, because we won't be stronger and we won't be better if you're not with us together. Does that make sense? We won't. If you think, oh, well, I'm opting out of this, Pastor Orvin. I'm not going to do the things I used to do because, you know what, I got burned. We've all got burned. I've had people burn me. I could turn around and say, well, I'm never going to have an assistant minister. I've had one that's done something to me in the past. Please don't read anything into that. I could turn around and say, no, I'll do it myself. I don't want anybody else to help me. I don't trust them. I trust this man. Don't know him very much, but I trust him. He'll make mistakes, but I trust him. It's time to trust people again. It's time to start giving people the opportunity to work in their giftings, even if they make a mistake. What was the result of this battle? Thousands of men were engaged and brought freedom. Thousands of men. They were part of it. Do you think after they won that battle they were miserable? I think they were probably really happy. I think there was a self-fulfillment in there. Oh, we've won. Hundreds of thousands of Jewish people, Hebrew people, not Jewish people, Hebrew people, received the blessing of freedom because they worked together. So this is one of my dreams for this place. One of my dreams for this place is that thousands, can you say the word thousands? Thousands of people will be blessed in our town because of us here. Not 5 or 10 or 20 or 30, but thousands. Will you help bless thousands of people? Yeah? Come and talk back to me. Will you help bless thousands of people? Not just 1 or 2 or 10 or 100. We have 275 people in our books. Not just 275 people, including children. It's okay the children come in. We love the children here. They're important. Hello. No, you're not going up there. Mommy's coming. So, one of the best things we can do right now is help others reach their God-given potential. Worship team, would you come? Thank you. So I've nearly finished. Please bear with me. I've got another 15 pages to go. I'm going to cut some of this out. Okay. We need you to cultivate positive relationships with people. Now, with positive, I mean godly relationships, not inappropriate relationships that live outside the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying without me being specific? Appropriate relationships, where we have godly relationships, where we, as disciples, live as disciples and encourage other people to be disciples. Does that make sense? We need you to start doing it now. Don't sit back and think, what can I do? Go and find somebody you don't know. Take them out for a coffee. Find out about their life. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them. And then teach them what you've learned about discipleship. Don't sit back and wait for somebody else to invite you. You, after this service, go and find somebody and have a healthy, godly relationship, living under biblical principles and not living in sin. And finding somebody that's attractive in the opposite sex and think, ooh, do you know what I'm saying? Not allowed. Not a godly relationship. And not where people come together and gossip and complain and talk about people. Did you see that Chris? God, you know, he didn't wear a jacket like the pastor.
Did it, Mick?
No gossiping allowed. If someone gossips in your group, say, we don't do that here. Thank you very much. We find the best in somebody. Okay. I want you to start doing it now. I want us to all have a win. and experience a win. We all need a win. So can I tell you an example of what happens here? Because one of the people is in here, and I won't embarrass them, but the other person isn't in here, and I won't name them. But I want you to imagine a senior person in our church who loves to help younger people. And they get an opportunity to work with the younger people that needs help. Now, that's a win for the senior person. Do you know why? Because they love to do it. And then the young person that needs help, gets the help that they need. That's a win. But it's a mutual win. Because they both can experience something good out of it. So I want you to look for mutual wins. Something where you can find a win and just do it. Okay. I've got to be really quick now. God's mission became Deborah's mission. His agenda became her agenda. God's mission should become our mission. God's agenda should become our agenda. If you want to build stronger, better together, this is what I'm asking you to do. It's a big ask. And you may be visiting today and think, well, what does this church expect? I'll tell you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to dedicate the rest of your life, the rest of your life, to building stronger, better together, to serving God's kingdom, and forget your own reputation and forget what people think about you. My wife and I will have a conversation. I said, Esther, I don't really care what people think about me. And I don't. I've come to a point where people think I'm a good pastor. That's great. They think I'm a bad pastor. I don't care. I only care what he thinks. If I'm going to do what he says, I've got to lay down my reputation about what people think about me so that he can be glorified. So some of you might need to lay down your own reputation. What will people think about me? You know what? Most people don't care. As the worship team lead us now, I want us to focus in this last song that Jesus did everything to make a way for us to succeed in life. Jesus went the extra mile by dying on that cross so that we could succeed, so that this church could succeed. I want us to learn from his perfect example today and learn from others. Are we in? I hear you.
Yes.
Are we in?
Yes.
Then let's do it now. Now. Now is the time. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do something before you leave out this church today. And if you've got to go, give somebody a ring, arrange a time, build into their life and encourage them today. Amen? And we will be much better, stronger together. Let's stand as we take our last song. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening today.